I'd just like to speak to you from one verse from the Bible, from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. And these are the words that Jesus said to his disciples. He put a little child before them and he said these words, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now this morning it's a tremendous joy to be able to baptize both Lucy and Alex. We wouldn't say they're little children, would we? We would say that Alex is growing quite tall. Soon he'll overtake his sister Lucy. I don't know if he has already. But the one thing that we can say is that God has changed their lives. They are converted. They have been turned from their sin. And Jesus was speaking to grown men who have been boasting, who have been talking about who was the greatest amongst them. That's quite petty, isn't it, for grown men to do that? To speak about who is highest in the pecking order, who has greater gifts, who has greater talents, who is more worthy. That was their speech. They were talking about who was the best amongst them. And Jesus has to humble them. He has a visual aid. It's as if I came down and picked up a little child here, or I came to your little child and brought the little child sitting nicely in his father's arms and held the child up before you this morning. And you think, well, this is going to fix in my mind. And Jesus says you need to become like a little child. I wonder, what did he mean by that? We're going to consider that this morning. But first of all, let's ask the question, who is exactly speaking? He says, assuredly, or most certainly. Another translation says, verily, verily. That's the old way of speaking, isn't it? Why did Jesus speak with such emphatic terms? Why does he say, assuredly? Often he used those words. He wasn't like the prophets of old. The prophets of old would say, "Thus says the Lord." Jesus spoke upon his own authority. He would say things like this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Could you ever imagine a mortal man, a mere man, saying, "I'm the truth. I'm the embodiment of truth. If you want to understand what truth is, consider me." Would you ever consider a mere mortal man saying, "I'm the way. There's no other way to God the Father. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other entrance into the kingdom of God except through me and me alone. I'm the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. No man can have spiritual life except through me." Who is speaking? Who can say assuredly, "No one will enter the kingdom of God unless they're converted, unless they become as little children"? Who can speak such words? Only God can speak such words. Jesus was the Son of God. There is only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the second person of the Trinity. He speaks with all authority. When he was upon the earth, he received worship. When Thomas declared, "My Lord and my God," Jesus didn't turn around and say, "Don't say that, Thomas. That's blasphemy. How should you ever call me God?" No, he accepted worship. In fact, all the angels of God are worshipping him. You have to make a decision this morning as to who is Jesus Christ. You cannot be neutral. His words are either a lie. Christians are either deluded in believing that he is the Son of the living God, or they are true. You cannot sit on the fence. You cannot say, "Well, Christians have a little bit of the truth and another religion has a little bit of the truth and we put it all together." There has to be absolute truth. It's not a question of just taking the little bit that you like. Jesus either is the Son of God or he is not the Son of God. Who's speaking this morning? He says, with the authority of heaven, Assuredly, I say to you. Now, what's his message about? Is his message about morality? Is it about Christian values? Is it about being a good boy or a good girl? Is it about living an honest, clean, upright life? Is it about church attendance? Is it about being religious? Is it about going through a ritual? Well, I would say to you, read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Consider what the message of Jesus really is. It's about the biggest question of all. It's about heaven and hell. It's about life and death. It's about your soul. It's about eternity. Who can enter the kingdom of heaven? Who can have spiritual life? Jesus says, only those who are converted. And surely that's the biggest question for you and for me this morning. Knowing God. Having a relationship with the living God. Knowing where you're going after death. Knowing what life is all about. Now, we've set the context here. It's his disciples who are debating. And we might say, well, I wouldn't be like that. I'm not interested in being the best. The disciples are talking about who's the greatest. But you know, so often, quietly in our own minds, we compare ourselves to other people. We find ourselves doing this over and over. Christians, people not Christians, not like that person. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have said that. Oh, why did that person do that? As if we're somehow better than others. Sometimes we do speak about our capabilities. Sometimes we do exalt ourselves and lift ourselves up. Sometimes human importance is too important to us. Jesus said, think of a little child. You need to be like that, Jesus says. What is a little child? It wasn't just a child of 10 or 11 that Jesus brought before them. It was an infant. What was an infant like? An infant is helpless, vulnerable, weak, dependent, often very trustful. Jesus is saying, you need to become like that. You're not to be full of yourself. You need to realize that before God, you're naked, weak, vulnerable. You need to understand before God, you have nothing in and of yourself to offer him. You need to come in all of your sin. You need to trust in God with simple, utter dependency. You know, our problem is this. We often have too high an opinion of ourselves. And often those secret things, those hidden things, we like to put out the back of our mind. We like to forget about them. What about the lies? What about the lusts? What about the greed? What about the impatience? What about the anger? What about the bitterness? God sees all of this. We need to be open and honest before God. We are sinners in his sight. He is a holy God. In him is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But there is much darkness in our lives. And so this call, you must be converted in order to enter the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's the reign of God, the spiritual reign of God. The spiritual reign of God in another world. There's not just this physical universe. There's a spiritual world. And in order to enter into that kingdom of God, we must be converted. The Greek word there is must be turned from sin. Now, what is conversion? The psalmist said this in Psalm 119, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Conversion is looking, having a good look at yourself, realizing who you are under the spotlight of God, understanding that there is no shadow of turning in God. God is absolute light and purity, and recognizing that you've gone wrong badly. And then it's turning to him and asking him for mercy, trusting his son, Jesus Christ. Many have done this. Scott was a young man. He was brought up in a messed home. His father would beat his mum and rape her. was a sad home. And consequently, when Scott was about 15, as a very disturbed young man, he started to drink just like his father, started to steal, got involved in drugs, left school early. And then he was told that actually his father wasn't his real father. And he was introduced to his real father. He thought life would be different, but it wasn't. And one day, his father broke some terrible news to him. His stepfather came in to his mum's house, and his stepfather murdered his mum, murdered his sister, and then turned the gun upon himself. Scott was devastated. He turned to hard drugs, turned to Class A drugs, punk rocker, safety pin in his face, rebellious and angry at God and angry at the world. Yes, he'd married, he divorced. And then a pastor spoke to him. Pastor found him on the street, spoke of the love of Jesus to this broken man. This man began to read the Bible. God began to work in his life. And he became as a little child. He called out to God in his great need, believed that Jesus had died for him, and he was converted. And now he tells everybody. We had a man here on Thursday night. Again, a difficult upbringing. Great fear of his father. Became a drug addict. Injected himself 4 times a day with heroin. Yet in prison, somebody spoke to him of the love of Jesus Christ. He'd already thought about and almost tried to commit suicide. A life transformed, converted, turned upside down. Now going into prisons, now actually given keys of a prison to go in and telling prisoners of the love of Jesus Christ. You might say, I'm not like that. I haven't gone to the depths like that. You know, we all need to be converted. I think of another little girl, Hannah, 13 years old. She realized she needed a savior at a younger age. She trusted in him, believed in him, invited Jesus to enter her life and was changed. And at the age of 13, she wrote this, I'm so incredibly blessed with the privilege of seeing God work each and every day, especially at school, because the kids at my school don't know God. So at the age of 13, this young girl asked her friends if they wanted to do a Bible study. 6 of them said they would. And so in school, they studied the Bible together. 2 of them became Christians. Hannah wasn't a drug addict. She hadn't been brought up in a horrible home. Brought up in a Christian home. But she knew she needed Jesus. Jesus saved her. And she was converted. What about you? You'll never call upon the name of the Lord Jesus unless you realize your need. You'll never call out for a savior unless you realize you need to be saved. You need to first realize that you're a rebel and you've turned against God and you need his forgiveness. He is so willing to save. Think of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ went all the way to a cruel cross. He had those 6-inch nails rammed into his hands and into his feet. He voluntarily offered his life as a sacrifice for sin. Why did he do it? He knew that the human race was in sin. He knew that their sins needed to be atoned for. He knew that no man or woman could ever make amends for their sins. Impossible. So he offered his righteous life upon the cross. He who knew no sin, he knew nothing about sin, became sin for us. He offered that life upon the cross, bore our sin, and bore the penalty of sin, bore the judgment of God against sin, that we might go free. Have you believed in Jesus?